Good morning.
Good morning.
You guys can hear me okay in the back? My voice carries back there? Yes. Good. Great. Thank you. Before I truly begin, I want to recognize the moment as it is, right here and now. And for me personally, because it's quite a moment, to be quite honest. As I grew up, my mother, who is sitting in the back there in the pew, she can wave her hand, you can recognize. The one who's gleaming with pride right now, bursting. The reason being is she exposed us to so much spirituality when we grew up. We literally tested and sampled probably up to 20 different churches in our childhood. So we got a good sampling of all things. And I can only imagine what it could be like to be my mom today to see me standing up here. So I want to recognize the reason I'm here is because of you. You mentioned divine intervention, and I believe it is divine that I stand here. Not to make this any more grandiose than just a simple talk with fellow human beings, but because I think the message, the second reading, just stuck out to me. And we did not plan this, how it was going to work. I said, just choose, and then I'll talk. And then I looked at the second reading, and I looked at these last words, and it says, "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries its own. Today's trouble is enough." True. How true that is. And so you probably noticed when you looked up my background that much of what I may be talking about today is this concept of mindfulness and what's brought to my life and how that all unfolded. And so I thought I'm going to try to weave that in as the message, because that's something that we just cannot forget, is that our worries and our anxieties and stresses about the future that never comes is what causes all of our suffering. And I find that to be a powerful thing to never forget. And so I'm going to use that divine intervention as I speak from the heart. What do you say?
Tree.
That is a tree. It's a beautiful tree, is it not? Yeah, it's good. So here is how I plan to unfold this short speech, including talking about the tree when appropriate. I thought I would give you just a little bit of my story so you have some context and maybe you can relate to that, or at least understand. And then a reflection on kind of how I see that affecting just generally society, just one man's opinion on what I saw. And then just a tad bit of remedy that has served me well, and if it serves you, even better. So my story is very normal story here in the city of San Francisco. I started out early in what we call our career, which is how we tend to define ourselves, right? When somebody asks you, who are you? The first thing that comes out of us is what we do for a living. And then if you ask them again, who really are you? And then we start to use some adjectives to describe ourselves, and you get asked again, who are you? If you get that far, there's a lot of, I'm not really sure. And so when I was sure in my 20s who I was this burgeoning salesman that was really doing great. And I was. And by age 23, I was managing a sales team that was twice my age. And, you know, by age 27, I was the top sales rep in a big, large publicly traded company across the country. And by age 29, I was running my first company. Sounds a little familiar with the San Francisco tech crowd, right? People that are running and gunning and building up companies. And since then, I've run three companies, successful ones, all gone from $0 to millions and a couple sold. And I was your classic entrepreneur, right? This guy that's doing it, living the dream, and had made my millions and all sorts of success. I had traveled the world twice over, and I had gotten awards, and my bank account looked quite nice after the last sale of my company. And so I was living that quintessential life that we're told to live, right? The one we strive for. But I have to say, as I stand before you today, it was simply not enough. It never is enough. No accomplishment that I was seeking was ever enough. I think you know what I mean. It's like you hit that certain threshold and you get to the place where society says, well, you've got your family and your kids. You made it, right? Or you've got your career and you made it. But yet, probably like me, there's something more that you want, right? Which is probably one of the reasons we sit in this spiritual place today. There's something more, and there is something more. And I would beg to say the something more is everything. These other things we've been led to believe have caused a lot of our suffering, my own. And so nowadays, when I talk about this, I call myself a recovering entrepreneur, one that caused a lot of suffering for myself and plenty of people who work for me, right? Busy, 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 get things done, making it happen, da, 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 da. And it's easy to get caught up in that and convince yourself that's the life to live, right? Because it moves so fast and you're getting rewards from every aspect from societal nature. But still something was missing. And it always has been, at least in my life, this deeper calling, this place that when I let myself drop down, it just felt empty and not fulfilled. And I found myself doing a lot of things trying to find that place. You may be familiar with these. Some of them relate to the power of positive thinking, right? The manifestation and abundance mentality. And they have their place, trust me, and I'm not here to say they don't. But what I found out is that I was only going in cycles with these tricks of the mind. Wake up, read something powerful, manifest it out, and here it comes. And I would get my new house, or I would achieve the next goal for the revenue of my company, and it was manifesting, and it was great. But to manifest out here does not move anything in here. And I still work hard on that. That could be some divine intervention. That could be Swedenborg himself saying, hey, what's this guy doing up here? No disrespect. And so I found myself in the roller coaster of life. And I'm not off that roller coaster, so I'm not here to say I have found the answers, only to give you my observations. Up and down. Yes, I did this. Down, what's it all about? Up and down and up and down and up and down. Day in and day out. Week in and week out. Month in and month out. Good year, bad year. And so, and it was this, and I kept asking myself, why does it have to be so difficult? There were mornings in the last company that I was running after I sold it and then was working as the CEO of the combined organization, which now that it wasn't mine and two companies coming together with two cultures, I can tell you my mindfulness practice was put to its test. Yeah, and I found myself waking up in the morning literally having to lift myself up. You know when you wake up in the morning, like, time to get up. It's kind of the, let's make it. It's the, you remember the old commercial, the Dunkin' Donuts one, where the guy has to say he's going in to make the coffee at 4 a.m.? Gotta make the donuts. Do you know what I'm talking about? It many days felt like that, and I kept questioning myself and judging myself and asking, why is it so hard to just have the positive energy to go forth and stay? I'm doing great things, making lots of money, and I'm reading some books again about how to get my head in the right place, and still, the problem was it was all coming from up here and not from here or here. And it's hard, and it's still hard. And so one of the things I found to be powerful when I finally broke away and quit my CEO role at a nice tech company and just went out to explore was the reflections that I could see in society were reflections of myself. And I started asking those normal questions, especially in this middle stage of life, right? Some call it midlife crisis, but that's just a term, right? I started asking, what is this all about, right? What is this truly all about? What is the end game? What's the meaning of this? Or even sometimes you look around, like, is this it? Is this really all life is? Like, you look around, like, hold on, I can see the end coming now at this point. And so the inquiry just kept growing and growing. And I started looking for answers. I started reading. I started meeting various people in various spiritual denominations. And I started just looking at us, the society, and I saw such a reflection in myself out there. And a couple of things that I noticed that were particularly concerning were things like loneliness. And the fact we're just not willing to even admit it. We are terribly alone in so many ways. Not all of us, not all the time. But in so many ways, we live a life that doesn't allow us to share our most deepest and intimate concerns. To let those out in a way that is healthy and normal to get away from the roles that we play, strong father, powerful CEO, nurturing mother, whatever it may be, and to just be the human and experience it as it is, that we kept fighting and we're fighting against this, and it's happening, and it was happening to me, and I got worried, and I kept asking myself, how is it possible in the society we live in this city, with all of the gifts we're given, right? This quality of life that we live on, this level of, let's just say, socioeconomic ladder, how is it possible that we're suffering so much? And the truth of the matter is we are. And better yet, it's okay. That is the path. That is what we're supposed to be doing, is going through, as a lot of the greatest monks in the world will tell you, we just keep making mistakes every single day, and we learn. And to let those guards down. And so I started looking at that, and I started evaluating it, and I started to understand where it was coming from. And I started looking at the things that we commonly diagnose ourselves with. Anxiety and stress is probably one of the more common pieces out there. And I wondered where that was coming from. And these words, right, worry about tomorrow, we have enough on our plate today, I think is a big part of that concern. And so with all of these things, I started to notice and really become aware, which is, in the world of mindfulness, is that first step. It's like just to be aware outside of yourself. Because what happens is we become very aware within ourselves, our own story, our own dramas, our own situation, and then we project out. And it becomes just a challenging perspective to maintain a greater perspective of things and keep here. And I know I'm spending a little time telling this story, and you may be wondering, well, Aaron, when are you going to get to the point? I'm wondering that too, by the way. I'm letting myself go for just a little bit, just to give you some context here. But after all of this, and I've talked to some of the top scientists out there that are studying spirituality and its connection and the physiology, neuroplasticity, all of these spiritual leaders, what it came down to was that I believe, and there's others that are finding this in their research too, that there's two things we seek as human beings. Only two. Not all those things that are running through your head of where you want to be and what you're going to do next week, right? Meaning and connection. The human connection is probably the most powerful thing we have. And because the way society has structured us now, much of it has to do with the phones and the internet and some of our lack of belief systems, which obviously in this room is not quite the case, we have become totally disconnected. And it is causing us to feel so many things that just aren't truly there. Because when we connect to other human beings, that energy exchange we seek in all ways and gives us the deepest solace. And so our loss of community is causing a lot of our suffering, just not having people to share the experience with, truly. Not the friends you just have a casual coffee or a drink with and complain about your spouse to, right? Those are some friends, and that's fine, but a community that really supports itself, supports each other and people to talk to. And then this meaning piece, right? Like, what is it we're here for? So connection and then meaning. And on that second part of meaning, where that breaks down for me and has served me well, especially most recently, is to allow the exploration to happen. It is much safer for us to come with answers to what we think life is all about than it is to ask ourselves, what is it my belief system really is? And what is it that's most important? And then decide how we're going to live that intentionally. The challenge I've seen is that we have now imbibed a belief system and we don't even know it. And when I say we, I'm talking society. I'm not reflecting on current company per se. Just in general, myself may be a better way to say it. That belief system is basically what we see on TV, reality shows, right? We revere the Kardashians, if you will. I mean, their values, you know, fame, fortune, and how many Twitter followers you have become something we actually unintentionally value, because we haven't chosen to say, no, that's not a value. Not, again, you guys, but in general. Or even our belief systems as we grew up. Think about the American puritanic work ethic. Sacred in this country. And this is a guy that worked many, many hours, right? And I'm not here to tell you how much I worked, but more to say, is it true that the harder we work, the more successful we are? And what is the definition of success? Is it the monetary gains, the career ladder, or is it a quality of life? And I started looking at this and I started doing charts. And I, you know, most people in the business world would like to have a little chart and see the up and to the right. If you know what I'm talking about, you'll appreciate this. And so my chart most recently was the vertical axis was financial success, and the horizontal axis was your quality of life. And what I found was that if you were any more above a 45-degree angle in the trajectory of your life, think about this for a second, you probably are generating a lot of suffering for yourself, meaning you're going up here, but the quality isn't here. And so maybe somebody, you know, maybe somebody who's on the middle path, it's directly 45 degrees, financial gains, societal gains, and yet I am seeking and finding deeper quality of life. And those maybe, let's say, the monk in the monastery, right? He's down here going across, but his quality of life is good, but financial, societal success, not there, which is fine. And the outcome's amazing. And then there's probably those that are, we know who they are, going kind of almost straight up. It's all about the finance, all about the success at all costs. And there's the, maybe the Donald Trumps of the world, maybe bending backwards like this, you know, whoo, they're going up and they went way, well, they're going back. And so, and I have great compassion for that man. He needs a lot of it. But all of us do it. I'm not here to comment on politics. That's not my intention, other than what just came up. But using it as an example. And so like this chart is like, where do we want to be when it's all said and done on that chart? 45 degrees sounds pretty cool. Maybe a little bit at 20 or 30. But where do we really want to be? And we start evaluating that and ask ourselves, why do I believe what I believe? Where did that come from? Why is it important? And then can I decide what is most important? Literally decide what is most important, not because it came to us, because now it serves us, and then live that out intentionally. Things like integrity, honor, these are words we don't use in society anymore, and I feel as though it's because we haven't chosen our belief system. So, to the point. How am I doing on time? Am I running way, way over? Ah, we're good. Okay. In cultivating this thing called mindfulness, I found a couple interesting remedies. And let me just define mindfulness for a second, just so everybody's coming from the same paradigm, at least the way I look at it. The definition I use is moment-to-moment awareness without judgment. Moment-to-moment, that power of being fully here and now, back to the words of don't worry about tomorrow, got enough to focus on today, but being here and present is that moment-to-moment. Awareness means coming outside of ourselves and seeing the bigger world as it is, and without judgment is obvious. And most of our judgment, unfortunately, hits us here. We look at ourselves the most harshly. And so if we can work through the world with more awareness in the moment without judging, things get to be a little bit easier. And there was three things that came through for me that really helped break some of these shackles that our society is pushing us into. And the first pillar of that is exactly what the word says of presence. And to be fully present with the people you're there with and at the moment you're in. And these are hard things to do. When we're taking our walk, we're normally not right there in the walk. We're not just walking. We're looking around. We're wondering. We're ruminating about the past meeting. We're on our phone. But to walk, just to walk. When you're there with somebody else, to be there to exchange the energy with them. It's not the words you share that mean something. It's the energy. And so being fully present has served so well to start getting around all of these fringe things that make us worry about tomorrow. The second is acceptance, and this is the hardest phase, I think, of this whole process, is fully accepting things as they are. Not as we want them to be or as we see them, but as they truly are. And one of the biggest elements of acceptance is what I call unraveling. Looking at all of these things we've built up, beliefs and fixed thinking around certain subjects, and just to start to let those things unravel and analyze them a little bit and then let them go, and analyze a little bit more and let them go without judgment, right? You might wake up one day and go, holy cow, I can't believe the past 20 years what I've been doing, right? And these are small things in life sometimes and sometimes big things. But to fully accept yourself and the way it is critical, or else we're just fighting ourselves up the stream of life. Last but not least is compassion. For me, this was the hardest concept as a hard-driving, get-her-done type of entrepreneur. Compassion felt like a soft word to me in this type of environment that I was in. And so compassion translates in a lot of different ways, but one of the most important ways is your choice of love versus fear. And I found it really interesting when you're ever up against a tough choice, let alone any choice, to ask yourself if you're making that choice out of love or fear. Compassion for what's going on and what you need to do yourself mostly, or are you doing it because you're worried about something, the outcome or the lack of knowledge of the outcome? It makes things really clear. So have compassion enough to see those things. Compassion for yourself, compassion for others, and compassion, remember, is the action word behind empathy. To feel empathetic for somebody else's plight, for the homeless on the street or whatever, is great, but it's not compassion until you've taken that action. And so compassion is the action of these things and making the choice. So to be present, to fully accept what is, and then have compassion in the way we look at things and the people we interact with, have served as three really nice pillars along the way. So I want to leave you guys with one maybe final thought, and just, again, sharing my story of suffering entrepreneur to exploring and finding little ways in this path, that if we can spend some time examining what we do, where we are, maybe what arc our curve is on the graph, and ask ourselves, is this really what we want? And are all things living up to the intentions in my belief system? I think we'll find ourselves in a lot better spot when we start getting further down that curve of our, let's call it, 100-year path. And I'll leave you with one quote, and it comes from a very smart man who is also extremely spiritual, Albert Einstein. And he basically said, and I paraphrase here, that the challenges we have today, all of the suffering that is created by us, the anxieties that we create in our own head, right? That stress and anxiety comes from ourselves. The challenges we have today cannot be solved in the same mindset, the way we think now, as they were created. The challenges we have today cannot be solved in the same mindset with which they were created. With that, I thank you guys for your time, and very blessed to be up here. And thank you again, Mom.